Shanti, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity, Dr. Sachin. I think everyone would prefer to be hearing from Dr. Sachin, but I'm very happy to do this. So the power to decide, and we can all have so many decisions to make every day, and I do remember seeing in GCH, in Global Cooperation House, a few years ago, they were doing a pantomime on the stage at Christmas, and in reception there were slogans that related to the story of the pantomime, and one of the slogans said, "Don't do what's easy, do what is right." And I thought that was such a wonderful slogan, a very useful one line, because for me, decisions is about, if I'm really going to make the right decision, then I would need to ask. I'd be asking myself, what are my values? What do I value in this situation? And what are my principles? And to be led by what I value and what my principles are. We have so many decisions to make sometimes that we can get analysis paralysis from overthinking. It's very easy to overthink and overanalyze, isn't it? And really, the decision, thinking, is going into action, isn't it? If I'm going to make a decision, then I have to do something. And so it's one thing to keep thinking, and I'm not completing, I'm not coming to a solution, I'm not going into action. And the other thing is actually to act. So the decision is really, another word for decision is act, isn't it? I've got to, it's my behavior, it's what I'm going to do is my decision. And I think one problem for us is that we are so governed by the past, and unfortunately it's in the past that I hold all my usually negative memories. Unfortunately, we have a sort of default, don't we, to remember the negative rather than the positive and store it in our memories. And so when I come to make a decision, quite often that's what's available, all the things that went wrong last time, and I presume it's going to happen all over again. So one thing for me that's important is, when making a decision, to come into the present, become present with myself. Not just coming into the present, because I find in the present my imagination takes off about the worst things that can happen again. But if I become present with myself, that's, I think, where I need to come from, and then go into action. And we have this sister who comes to the center, and she was somebody who was very self-effacing, and she meditates, and now on top of her meditation, she writes three affirmations about herself, and she does it over and over and over again. She has written pages, books, I think even, with her three slogans that she's chosen. And not only that, this is a slight aside about this third thing that she's doing, but she was recommended a book where you change your handwriting. I don't know much about it, but I know that the O's you do forwards, clockwise. You don't write an O anti-clockwise. And you cross your T's at the top. Anyway, she has found that these three things have been transformational for her, because she not only was very self-effacing, but she hadn't got a good relationship at all with her daughter, and it made her so sad that she bought a camper van so that she could go away for her birthday, for Christmas, so as not to be around her daughter, because she knew that she would take sorrow or not be able to see her or something would happen. And so now that she's really taken meditation on board, now that she's doing her affirmations so religiously, and changed her handwriting, in fact, she can stand there and say to you, I love myself and I love everybody else. And you can see it in her behavior. And her relationship with her daughter has completely changed, completely changed. They get on well now. So really, by changing herself, by becoming more positive, by increasing her meditation, she's made such a difference to her life, which is really nice to see. And the powers for me, that the eight powers that Baba has selected, you know, they work in a sequence. They are consecutive. And for me, they all build up to taking a decision and then looking at the result of the decision. And so for me, this need to become present, you know, like this withdrawing, just to put a pause. If we don't pause, we can be reactive, can't we, in what we decide to say. It doesn't even feel like a decision. It just is on auto, isn't it? If we just hear something coming from somebody and we just reply on auto, and it's so often so damaging because I'm reacting and then they'll react and so we go on. So this power of a pause before I come into action, for me, something that I have to keep reminding myself, because in decision making, what I'm going to do next, we can so easily get influenced wrongly, can't we? And that really has such an impact on what I value and what my principles are when I'm influenced by somebody else particularly. And then if I go with the influence that I'm picking up, they might not be sending it at all, but I'm picking that up, then again, it's not going to work out, because it's not on the basis of what I believe in. And so then I'll feel badly about it, and doesn't get anybody anywhere. Because I was thinking, really, it's the space I'm coming from in my decision that's so important, isn't it? That if I'm not coming from a point where I'm using natural intelligence, where I'm using my feelings as well as using facts, I can't do it on the basis of just one of those, can I? It has to be on the basis of all of those that I then come to a proper decision about what I should do next. And so the power to take this pause or withdraw, and then this ability to pack up so that I don't go into that past, you know, where all the bad memories are of what you did last time and what I did last time, etc. So if I can become present with myself and then to see how much I can tolerate in this situation is very helpful. And then to make certain adjustments on the basis of what I can tolerate, you know, what can I adjust to here? And then I can see what's right or wrong in the situation and then come to a decision on that basis. And then if I've got it right, then I'll be able to face the consequence of my decision quite easily. And I think if I've done the proper preparation, I'm very likely to make a right decision. So I then find it easier to take the consequence of what I decided. And then, if the result is that I get cooperation from everybody, I will know I've done it properly, Because that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's to decisions to unite us, to bring us together, to for everyone to benefit, for there to be cooperation. So I just think there's nothing more beautiful than the result of a decision being cooperation. And again, there was this sister who came to the centre, and she heard the session on the eight powers, and she bounced out of the centre. I didn't know why, but she was so happy when she left. She'd come with her daughter, her 21-year-old daughter. Anyway, I didn't see her for about a month because I wasn't the teacher of that group. And after a month, I saw her. She said, I've just got to tell you what happened that evening. She said, I'm going through a divorce, and my husband wants the house. And most of our money is tied up in the house. It's a big four-bedroom house in a very nice area called Horsham in England. And she said, that evening, doing the eight powers, I knew what I had to do. I knew what I could tolerate. She said it was the tolerate, how much I could tolerate, that was particularly important to me that evening. She said, because he wants the house. And that evening, I decided, yes, I can give him the house. I can manage that. I can do that. And so, of course, he is hugely cooperative with her now. But even more than that, the most amazing things happened. She said that she had an aunt that she knew was going to leave her some money. But her aunt left her money in six figures. She was not expecting that. So she's bought herself a very nice home in Worthing, where I come from. And it didn't stop there. Some weeks later, I saw her again with her daughter. And she said, oh, I must tell you, my daughter and I have just come back from Italy. Because you see, my uncle died and he left me his villa in Italy. So now she's already bought herself a home. She now has a villa in Italy. And it didn't even end there. Just before Christmas, she came with her best friend to one of our Sunday talks. And her daughter was again with her. And she said to me, this is my best friend. Great, lovely. So we got talking to the best friend, and she is someone who lives on the Isle of Wight, and it's a little island off the south coast of England. And we're actually planning to do service in the Isle of Wight. So we asked her if she could stay afterwards, and we could just ask her about which newspapers to use and where would be a good venue and all these sort of things. Yes, no problem, she's going to do that. So afterwards, this best friend, this person I'm talking about, and her daughter, they all stayed. And before long, her other daughter arrived, because they were all going to go to the cinema, in fact, afterwards. There's some film called Elves, I don't know anything about it, but it sounded quite sweet, film on elves, just at Christmas time. And anyway, during the conversation, what came out was that her best friend actually is her mother-in-law. I thought that was so lovely. Her best friend was her mother-in-law. So this whole story just became so rounded, so beneficial. And so it was so nice to see three generations all going off together, you know, to happen to be at the cinema, but, you know, just the three generations so getting on so well with each other, even when the children are grown up. So I thought it was very sweet. What else was I thinking? Yes, I think the other thing that's important to me is that we are completionists. I remind myself always, you know, when I take a solution, to remember that it's not finished until it comes right. There's still the ends are not tied up. If it hasn't all come right, it hasn't ended well, then it hasn't finished. And so, for me, the reminder that of the need to complete things, because otherwise we're not satisfied, are we? So to complete things, what I find is easiest is to do things straight away. To only handle that piece of paper once, in effect. You know, whatever I'm asked to do, do it now. Do it to the end of what I'm able to do now. And what I find then is I don't sometimes even remember whether I did it or not, you know, because it takes so little energy and it's so energizing. And I've also experienced the opposite. You know, say you rang me and I got home and I didn't ring you back immediately, although I wanted to, but this got in the way and that got in the way, and then this happened and then that happened, and I never got round to it. And I keep thinking, oh my goodness, I still haven't phoned her. And by the end of the day, the phone is just like a lump of lead. You know, I wanted to do it, but I've used up all my energy during the day thinking I didn't do it, thinking I didn't get round to it. And so now it is such an effort to ring you, whereas I didn't start off like that at all. So it's really come home to me in a big way that I have to do things straight away, that it has to be now that I do it, and that helps a lot. And the other thing I find really helpful is that we don't really have to go through all this sort of looking at making a decision for so many things. That's for the bigger things, isn't it? For the small things, we're making decisions all day, every day. And so for a lot of the things, we are on auto because we've got into good habits and we can just go ahead with it, such as, you know, we'll probably just find ourselves in the meditation room at 7 in the evening because that's what we always do. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to make a decision. And in the morning, I find that to use the Nike expression, just do it, is very helpful. So if I set my alarm, it goes off, and just get up. And because as soon as I start thinking about it, I'm going to be there for goodness knows how long. So for me, it's really helpful just in the morning just to do it, just to do the Nike expression, just do it. And just finally, I'd just like to mention that there's this lovely, I rather like slogans, as you might have gathered. There's a rather nice slogan in the IT department. And it says to the effect, if you do your duty properly, your duty will salute you. Probably some of you have seen this. If you don't do your duty properly, you will bow down to your duty and to others, is basically what it's saying. And I thought, how right. Because, you know, I'll just very quickly tell you this because it's almost half past. But Dr. Nikhil Patel, I don't know if he's still a psychiatrist. This psychiatrist at the Global Hospital, he came to England many years ago, and he came to Worthing and gave a talk at our centre, and he was telling us 7 things of how to keep out of the psychiatrist's chair. In other words, how to stay sane. And so these are decisions as well, aren't they, if you're going to decide to stay sane. And the first one that he mentioned was, whatever you do, whatever duty you do, whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability. And the reason for this, of course, is that it elevates our self-respect. So if I am behaving well, if I have gone well into action, then my self-respect will go up. And if I don't, I am, of course, eroding my self-respect. When I'm making a major decision, I would say to really use the 8 powers. To really, first of all, think about what are my principles, what are my values in this situation. I think are very important, because even if I get it wrong, if I'm being true to myself, with the right intention, I think then, as long as I'm doing my best, coming from being right rather than getting it right, I think is probably the most important for me. What's the most important decision in my life? Just offhand, I can't think really what the most important one was. I'm sorry. Yes. I remember, one thing that just comes to mind, and it might not be a relevant answer, but I remember I went to boarding school when I was 12, and I was very, very unhappy to leave the family. And I cried every day, and then I suddenly stopped and took the decision, I'm going to be happy. And I took that decision, and I used to sing happy songs to myself and all sorts of things, but I took that decision and I did not let go of it, and it changed everything. I became happy at school. So that was a big decision as a 12-year-old. I'm Shanti.